Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nations.
Praise the Lord, church. It's good to see us in the house of God. Amen. Give yourselves a hand clap for worshiping that great. Hallelujah. We thank God. They asked parents, how is the first week of school? The first week is okay. Glory to God. Yes, we started off well, and we know we are going to end well. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. I thank God that we are here. Thank God for the worship team. Sometimes worshiping and when technology is not working with you is difficult. But I really thank God that they managed to pull off a great session. So clap for them once again. Because when we came in here, we didn't even have power. Yeah, and I kept on thinking, Then Esther told me, you know, it's been on and off, and I'm like, and I'm going to preach. Lord, just help me, So I really thank God that it has been sorted. Amen? Amen. Amen. Yes. Don't be cold. It is very hot outside. And today we are going to preach together. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God who gives us his spirit, the spirit of wisdom. The other day I was thinking, after getting that dream where God was telling me that he has given me wisdom, probably and grace, I started to think, maybe I start to call myself Nyabwenje. Yes, I start to call myself Sister Nyabwenje. Because if people are called to being prophets, to offices, to Jewish apostles, and yes, I think I should call myself also. I should give myself that title, Nyabwenje. Glory to God. Yes, but God hears our prayers and God answers them, and we thank him that he's caused us to enter our promised land. He's caused us to enter our promised land. Whether it feels like it or not, we are there. Glory to God. We go by what he tells us, not what we feel, what we see. We go by what he tells us, and he tells us the seasons in which we are. The beginning of the year, we pray to God, asking him to do something new in our midst. And as such, God heard our prayers, and he answered them. And I believe that as a church, we are in the promised land, and he's doing great and new things in our midst. Now, it also takes the eyes of faith to discern what God is doing and at what time. When you go by the things in the physical, you will say, but I'm not seeing anything. Like, this doesn't seem like the promised land or the new thing that the Lord is doing. But if I should remind us of what happened to the children of Israel when they crossed over into their promised land. Man, the children of Israel had to fight. It didn't sound or it didn't look like the land flowing with milk and honey, literally. Like going and being on a chilla at a beach. So the children of Israel entered the promised land, and 3/4 of the time they had to fight wars and to take over, and to dominate, and to prosper in that land. But guess what? The Lord was with them like never before. And the Lord increased them, and the word of the Lord became true. At the end of the life of Joshua, the Bible says that everything he promised them came to pass. None of his word fell to the ground. Glory to God. Amen. So what does that show us? That when we enter the promised land, when God tells you that you have his promise and he's going to fulfill it, and you start to fulfill it, sometimes it seems like it is not it. But you must go with the report of the Lord. You must go with the instruction of the Lord. So today we are going to talk about exercising and strengthening our faith. Why? Because God will never do what you are supposed to do. Take it or leave it. Chikirize chigane. In everything that we do, God has a part to play, but we also have a part to play. And God will never, never do your part. The earlier we just think about that and accept it, the better. You have a part to play and you must play it. He will do his part, but you must play your part. And in playing your part, you will need to exercise your faith. You need to strengthen your faith. I remember, I was going through a book written by one of the fathers in the faith who had the greatest church at a certain point in Korea. And this guy, he's called Yonggi Cho. He says, he writes about an experience he had that as God told him to expand, that he's going to grow the church and to expand it. And so God gives him the strategy. God tells him, first of all, we are going to start by building. Okay? At that point, he had about 10,000 people in church. So God tells him, you're going to start building. So he asks him how. And God tells him, you go to the bank and get a loan. So this guy is like, I go to the bank and get a loan. God is like, yep. So he does what most of us would do if you're in a place of position of leadership. Imagine you're presiding over 10,000 people. Some of them are pastors and what you have. And 10K is a lot of, is a big number. Yeah. So he calls his deacons, his pastors, and he goes for a meeting. He calls for a meeting and he says, now guys, this is what God has told me. God has told me that we are going to start building and I should go to the bank. These guys were like, no way. Like, we're not taking a facility. We even already where we are, we have financial needs. Why should we now go into the bank and take a loan? That cannot be God. And they passed a vote and they said no. They all voted. Majority, actually he says 99% of them voted that no, you cannot go to the bank. Then the other 1%, the balance of the 1%, was not sure even what to do. So this guy goes back to God and says, God, we are not going to the bank. You see, people, we voted and we're not going to the bank. And then God kept quiet, but he continued seeking God in prayer about it. And then God asked him one question one day, but what did I tell you to do? He said, you told me to go to the bank. He said, but what did you then do? He said, then I called a meeting to tell the people and we take a vote. Then he said, but what did I ask you to do? Did I ask you to call for a meeting? Or I told you to go to the bank and get a loan? For me, when I was reading that story, I was like, Then now he describes how he went into the bank, how he says that when he went to the bank, he told the bank manager that, you know what? I need a loan of about $50,000, but I'm promising you that I'm giving you 10,000 accounts. So the bank manager is like, hey, but how is that? He's like, look, I'm a leader of a church. I have my members. They can open up what? They can open up accounts in your bank. So he goes into that business mode. And you can't believe what he says. He says in less than 3 days, he had gotten the money to build the church. Glory to God. But what really stood out for me was the conversation that he had with God after God had given him the instruction. He asked him, what did I tell you to do? What did I tell you to do? And he told him. And then he says, and for you, what did you do? He said, but I went. I called my leaders. He said, what did I tell you to do? What did I tell you to do? Go to the bank. I didn't tell you to call for a meeting. I told you, go to the bank. So, it's amazing. It's amazing. I'm not saying we should do things like that. You see, when people, when you hear those testimonies, you can think that this is the only way, and this is how God always does his things. But sometimes, yes. Sometimes, yes. As we can see from that experience, but other times, no. But what does that mean for you and I as Christians? We must always follow the instruction of God. We must follow the instruction of God. Glory to God. And to do that, you need faith. Sometimes you will get into people's bad books. Imagine you have a vote of 99% of your leaders and then saying, no, do not go. And for you, you go. You think it was easy? Now, these men of faith do not tell you how many, because he doesn't mention it anywhere, how many relationships he lost. But of course, there were some that he could have lost. People must have said, you know, this is the end of my membership in this church. I have gone. Mokamate ya yogera. Yeah. But it's amazing that he says he's the one who was seeking God about this. Like, none of his leaders were seeking God about it. And then God gives him that instruction. So sometimes you will be looked at as you obey the Lord and you walk the walk of faith with God. Eh? You will pay a price. Glory to God. He talks about all the some of the sacrifices. I don't think it's all, but some of the sacrifices that he went through as a minister to establish the church, how they sold their house. Man, this. And those things of God has said, we sell our house. And then, his first church, he sold his house. But he mentions in his book that, you know, houses and wives, eh? And women, it was a source of security. His wife would have a backyard garden she would tend to every day. Then God one time tells him, sell that house. He's like, but how do I tell her? He said he didn't what? He didn't sleep. So after some time, he goes and tells the wife, you know what? I feel the Lord has told us to sell the house and to start building a church. The wife said, no, you're crazy. Like, you're really crazy. So she prayed about it. But even the praying, he said that they would go to bed at night. And she tosses and turns. Both of them were not sleeping. She tosses and turns and tosses and turns, and he's like, God, just deal with her, just deal with her. Now, in the first story I told you, he had to go with or without the church leadership. This one, he had to wait on God to deal with the wife. So after some time, the wife comes to him and tells him, you know what? Yeah, let us sell the house. So they sold the house. And they left and moved into an apartment. He said they spent over like 10 years there, longer than the time they had spent in this nice, beautiful house. But you know what? She had signed off on it. It was long, but it was of faith. And eventually, that act of faith, God rewarded it. Glory to God. Amen. So when we get to a point where if we are going to be prosperous in our promised land, we must do our part. We must exercise the faith. We must be patient with people. Sometimes you have to go ahead with them, but make sure you check with God first. But let's go on to see what the Bible tells us about how to exercise faith. What does it mean to exercise your faith? Hebrews 11, 1 and 2. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. You see, when you have faith in the word of God, out there it seems like you have nothing. But here it tells us that faith is a substance. Faith is a thing. You may not have the money to purchase the piece of land. You may not have the money or whatever, like you don't have the physical thing, the literal thing that you need, but you have faith. And in the spirit world, faith is substance. Glory to God. In the spirit world, faith is as real as this thing here. And that is what, that's what the Bible says when it says that now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In the spirit world, this is what your faith and my faith are. They are substance. When they ask you, what is it that you have? You say, I have faith. Of course, in the natural world, it will not, some people will not understand that, because spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And that's okay. But also you have no business telling people your things if you know that they're not going to understand them. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. LAT, you want a good report in the promised land? We are going to use this to get the good report. Glory to God. We are going to use our faith, which is just that substance, to obtain the good report. That is why in the past few weeks, we have been praying and declaring things by faith. Hoping, praying, declaring things by faith, things that the Lord has promised us. Why? Because that is what we have. You can't tell me now that I don't have anything. Yes, I don't have the physical, we don't have the physical numbers. The people haven't yet come. The choir has how many people? But for me, I have faith. I have faith, and I'll use that to partner with God to make the numbers manifest. Glory to God. So if the elders had to use faith for their promises, we are not any different. You know, in the faith movement, I know for sure that many times faith has been abused by people in the faith movement. You know, those hyper things, someone says, yeah, I'm coming akun to me, about what, me, I'm starting this, and it's not even, it's not what God told this person to do, but they will, they start to do it, and they fail flat on their faces. And you know what? The heathen are quick to saying, Mulaba, auntie, it was faith, it was faith. But when you go back and you actually do an inquiry on this person, you realize that God even never told them in the first place. Or maybe there are other factors that have caused that faith not to manifest what this person is saying. There is a lot more, by the way. It is not, oh, I have faith so I can do it. There's a lot of things that go into us manifesting our promises. So, when we go to 1 John 5:4, again, we see that what this kind of faith does for us. It says that for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. In other versions, it says even our faith. Or here it says our faith. It is your faith that will help you to overcome all those things. God has promised you, told you he's going to give you a promotion. God has told you you're going to get married. God has told you you're going to get a child. God has told you, man, if... Let me first digress. Something has just come to me. You know, the other day I was just thinking that we talked about obedience for a very long time. And yes, obedience is immediate obedience. But then I realized that sometimes we obey God, and I think I've told some that we obey God because we fear the consequences of disobedience. And that is your primary chechuku syndicate to obey God. Your primary reason for obeying God is like, ha, God is going to punish me if I don't do it. But God doesn't want you. The Bible clearly tells us, Jesus says that those who love me obey me, not those who fear the consequences of disobedience. And yes, fear of the consequences of disobedience is a starting point. But my friends, I'll let you know that it is a faith walk. And if you continue like that, you will not be sustained on your walk of obedience. The fear for consequences of disobedience cannot sustain you on your faith walk. It won't. Because, let me tell you something. God is a God of mercy. He sometimes relents judgment. I think I was looking at Manasseh in the Bible. a very evil king ruled Israel for 55 years. Did child sacrifice, very evil things, took idolatry, put up over which poles was for him Asherah poles, and then he was worshipping the starry horse, all those things. He took Israel away from the worship of their God. And God got angry. And he sent a prophetic word and said, I'm going to destroy you. I am going to destroy you. He sent a very, when you read it, you even fear for Israel at that time. And then, after Manasseh dies, another king comes on. Later, eventually, a baby, well, he was 8 years old, Josiah, comes onto the scene. Can you imagine, Christina, that there was a king who, there was a young boy, 8 years old, who was once a king of Israel. Like he was coronated as a king at 8 years. You guys, you can accomplish a lot for the Lord. So Josiah, when he turned 16 years, he's like, no, I have to celebrate the Passover. So he did so many religious reforms. He reintroduced religious reforms, first breaking down those idolatry places, did so many good things, restored the worship in the temple and what. And then one day, he reads a book, the book of the covenant, and he realizes, man, they are going to face judgment from one of the kings, who was Manasseh. And guess what? He goes to God and he pleads with him. He asks God, please relent. Eh? Please, forgive us, what? And God says, okay, fine. I'm going to relent. I'm not changing my sentence. Okay? I'll still judge you. But you are not going to see it in your lifetime. Meaning, even if he had lived 100 years, he wasn't going to see that judgment coming. Okay? But the Bible clearly says that that Josiah had set his mind to seek the Lord. There was nothing like turning left or right. He had set his mind to seek the Lord all the days of his life, to seek the God of his forefathers. It's amazing that Josiah comes from a lineage of, Josiah's lineage is interesting because his grandfather was Manasseh, a witch doctor, an idolater. Man, his CV was bad. By all means, if I had gotten Josiah and put him in today's, in today's world, you'd say, but this guy here is tricky. Yes, you could be having the covenant here, the law, the law of the covenant, but also other things under there. But what does that tell us, Christians? That we have hope. Whether your grandfather, your mother, your father was a witch doctor, there is hope. You can still do great things for the Lord. So, anyway, I was just simply talking about how we should obey God. And desire to get to that place where it is known that you fear the consequences of disobedience. Because God can relent and you may never see them in your lifetime. And God can forgive, by the way, that you don't see them in your lifetime, but that thing still remains that he will come back and punish someone else in your generation. So, let us obey God purely because we love him. And it's okay to start from fear, but desire to go past that. So anyway, what does exercising and strengthening our faith look like? One, faith does not question in doubt. Hallelujah. Faith does not question in doubt. The Bible says that, come and let us reason together. This is God telling Israel, come, let us reason together, even if your sins are as red as scarlet. Come, you bring your reasons. So when God tells you to do something, to walk by faith, the instruction is clear. Sometimes it is difficult. And I'm not saying that you cannot ask God. No, you ask God, man, God, please, this thing that you're telling me how. But do not ask from a point of doubt, from a point of fear. We are going to use a very common story. You guys, you know these things, but I'm going to go through them because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I cannot quote from any other book, but what the word of God tells us. Luke chapter 1 verses 5. This is the experience of Zechariah. Then after that, we shall go into the experience of Mary. You know what happened to both of them when they received a message from the Lord. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah in the division of Abijah. His wife was one of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as a priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right-hand side of the altar of incense. And then Zechariah saw him. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." Glory to God. So first we see an experience where this guy, the priest of the Most High God, is burning incense, alimuyekalu, and Gabriel comes and gives him a message about conception. It is interesting that, you know, for me, when I read this, I'm like, this CV of the child that is going to be born, I don't even need to question. By the 10th verse, "Bangamba, be it done unto me according to your will, O God," because he's telling you the manner of the child. He's not going to drink wine. He's going to have this power. He's going to be filled. And then Zechariah asks, but how shall this be? And then he questions God, like as if, you know, it's amazing that Zechariah was questioning God about something that had happened before. It happened to Abraham and Isaac. And Zechariah, the priest, is asking, but how shall it be, seeing that I'm advanced? Like, you could think that this has happened before. You see, for Mary, it was a different story, because till then there was no virgin birth. So I think, even if she had asked in fear or doubt, it would have been, the sentence wouldn't have been that bad. But for Zechariah, and you know what? This is happening, and people are worshiping in an atmosphere of worship. The guy is like, wait a minute, hold up. How is this going to happen? You would imagine that a priest of the Most High has read the story of Abraham and Isaac and Sarah. But you see, this shows me that, like, we are human beings. Yes, you're serving, you're called, you're in this high office. You have had a very powerful experience. The Lord has told you this is going to happen. Yeah, God has showed you Russia Mide. You're going to build here. You're going to buy what? You're going to take over. You become the mayor of Russia Mide. And then you're like, but how is this going to be? Yeah? Like as if God has never appointed mayors before. Glory to God. So as children of God, by the way, we are very susceptible to doubting. And do you know what? The angel tells him, you're going to be mute. Why does the angel tell him you're not going to talk? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so he was like, if this guy is questioning me like this, he's going to spread. He will ask all these. So God is like, you guy, you're going to be mute until this happens. But also the deeper theological explanation is things like blindness and mute, being mute and leprosy, those diseases were associated with a past sin in your life at that time. And so God punishes or judges Zechariah for this sin of unbelief. That it's there very clear. I think in verse 10 he says, behold, he says, you're not going to, I think in verse 10, you're not going to speak. No, when he was giving him the sentence, he tells him, because you did not believe my words, therefore you're going to be mute until these things happen. If you doubt God, but you people, that sin of unbelief is serious. You can have consequences. You can have very serious consequences. So this guy comes out, and I think imagine the first thing the Bible tells us, everyone was wondering what has happened, but it was evident that he had actually interfaced with God or an angel. So when God tells us to do things, let us not walk in unbelief. Let us, at the very least, if you see that Toina Kukiza, ask God to help you. You start by asking God, please God, let this be according to what you have said, but help me to believe your word. Glory to God. God will never tell you to do things you can do on your own. God will never tell you to do things where you not need to depend on him. Hallelujah. So God lets the people who have faith run with the vision, Elizabeth. Glory to God. So she conceives and all these things happen. And you know what? It's amazing that when you also read this portion of scripture, you realize that God speaks in past tense. He says, behold, you will have a son, or future tense or past tense. When you look at the story of how God gave Jericho into the hands of the Israelites. He told Joshua, behold, I have given you the city. For him, it was already done, but the walls were still up. But he wasn't going to fight. God told him, I have given you the city. He told him the battle plan. But Joshua had to do his part. Imagine Joshua, a man of war, going and telling them, now you assemble like this. Now, Tawalukruana, don't cock your guns yet. Do not, don't cock your guns. Don't pull any arrows and what? We are going to surround the city 7 times. And this is how we are going to do it. And can you imagine a man of war coming down and having to tell his people, a whole battalion, that is how we are going to take over this Jericho? It takes faith. So sometimes I think God tells us to do, you don't have all the answers. You don't have all the answers. Recently, again, I was telling someone about something that God told us to do. And they're asking me, so what about this? What about this? What about, I just felt like they were just banko. I'm like, but you know, I don't have the answers, all those answers. I'm not going to start lying that, you know, this and this happens. Or wouldn't be. No, I just said, I'm not God. I don't have the answers. If I had them, I would tell you, but I don't have the answers. So don't curse me for them. For me, this is a dream. It came like this. And I think this is how we should act. So the things that God calls us to do, you must do your part. But in doing your part, do not walk in unbelief. Believe the Lord. The next step will come. Glory to God. Amen. Number two is faith has to have actions. Faith must have actions. James 2 verses 14 and 17. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, it is dead. You say you have faith. You say God told me to do something. Start to move. If the instruction was clear, start to move. Don't go asking for permission. Glory to God. You know, many times also being coming from, and these are things that I see or I feel plague us who are prophetic. You want to wait for the next dream to tell you to move. You want to wait. So I will ask you, for the promises you have, you LAT, you individuals, what are the actions you're doing to show God that we're not really serious? Too serious. I found myself sharing with someone pastor's experience of a dream. Dennis had a dream about pastor owning a piece of land in a place outside town. Yeah, the dream was clear, and then Dennis shared it with all of us. We were all in the hearing. Me, Christine, his wife, were all in the hearing. Sam. And immediately, pastor is like, Dennis, when are you next going up country? As in, he didn't want to know. He didn't want to know. But I was like, when you're next going up country, don't leave me. I have to go and see that place. That is a corresponding action. First of all, I even felt sorry for pastor because he wasn't even the dreamer. So, and I know that journey may not be simple when he eventually, but at least he's like, for me, God has spoken. 20. Nyenda. Nyenda. He's like, next time, Dennis, you're going, don't leave me. So I'm like, may that teach you something. Obedience. You obey based on the instruction of God. Your action shouldn't be something you just think of. Because knowing pastor, knowing Dennis, knowing even myself, there is no way, like, we could have. This is not something you can think yourself and say, you're going to own a piece of land in this place. No, for me, if it is joy to think about own a piece of land, like if I'm to tell maybe, Glory, I'll tell her, yeah, Kololo, what, yeah? But I can't tell Glory, you're going to own a piece of land in Moyo, eh? I'll be like, if it comes, it has to be clearly from God, an instruction from God. Who is in Moyo? Oh, for me, I come from, I was glad that pastor said, we are going. Yeah? Dennis, don't leave me. The rest is a detail. Glory to God. So for you, what corresponding action do you have for the things, the instructions that God has given you? What corresponding action do you have? Luke chapter 17:11-14. You know the story very well, how the 10 lepers got cleansed. You see, even when you're looking at me now, I can tell people are bored, but faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So ngenda byogera. Because after this, but if you want to build your faith, you had better read the stories of the Bible. You had better read the stories of the Bible more than hearing people's experiences. Go, open, and see how people receive their healings, how people receive their miracles. This is how faith is built. This is how faith is built. So, the Bible says in Luke 17:11-14, now it happened as he went through Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood far off. Yeah. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Jesus tells them to take a risk. By the time he told them, go show yourselves to the priest, they still had leprosy. Remember, they were outcasts. Yeah? So now Jesus tells them, Jesus wasn't going to carry them to, you know, when Jesus told Peter, when Jesus was walking on water, you know that famous story. And they see him in the deep of the night and they all get scared. And Jesus is like, shh, it is me, it is I, Jesus. And then Peter is like, if it is you, Jesus, tell me to come. And Jesus told him, come. Peter had to step out of the boat. Jesus, that again wasn't going to get him from the boat. But Nange, these are very simple things, but it's amazing how even in the days of Jesus, when people were seeing Jesus, the miracle worker, the word, bamukutekwa manyiga, full of power through and through, they still doubted. They doubted then. You too will be faced with a temptation or a test to doubt. If people doubted the Jesus that they saw, touched, felt, Jesus who had done miracles, how much more for you? So, Jesus tells Peter, come. Peter had to step out of the boat. Me, I wouldn't have been in that boat. I would ask Jesus for something else, like, you know what? Take us to the shore. Binevyo tambura, kumazi. Just take us to the shore. We shall, if it's really you, I'm not interested. But some people are really, some people dare, eh? And when they dare, they see great things. When you read about, like the patriarchs, some of them you really see it was faith, it was risk, it was daring God. Yeah? And you dare him, you walk with him, you walk in obedience, you will see his hand. Glory to God. So Peter is told, come. He acts on an instruction. He had to step out of the boat. You have you seen boats? You know, in Entebbe, Lord, I thank you for that experience. Because we, at one point, my mom owned boats. Amato. Getting out of, you know, the boats are really, cut first chill the boats that are swanky. Now you guys, you go, you have life jackets, what, and they are low. Those boats were high, yeah? Imagine, you know what it felt, I can imagine in the times, in those days, having to get out. And I know what a fishing boat is and a boat for chilling is. The boat for chilling is the one that maybe Mbide has, what, those ones, white, what's when they tell you get out, eh? There are even steps that can. In the boats for fishing, the boats that take people, first of all, they are high. Yeah, it's not like a canoe, they are high. So to get out of there, it takes effort. Yeah? So I can imagine how Peter actually said by name so come in the core like munkwate, ngenda. Can you imagine? Yeah? And these guys are thinking, this guy is insane. Yeah? And I think they must have been like, you go, you drown, bibio. We don't know what you're going to tell your family, but yeah. But if you don't drown, Kali, it is a miracle, but then you're like, was it really worth it? Because, man, that was a very big risk. So the guy gets out of the boat. But even the idea of getting out of the boat, it took effort. This is a boat that was in the middle of water. It wasn't a steady boat. It was, you know, remember it was deep in the night. Yeah? So you can imagine it wasn't mobile. It was calm. There were no waves. No. Yeah? It was actually moving, and he's like, "Nzeba nange, I'm what? Ngenda, they have told me to what? To go." Ha! And then there were waves, and that is what made him sink when he observed the waves. Yeah, and the Bible says that Jesus reached out and picked him. Did you know that he hadn't yet reached Jesus? But Jesus actually, I don't even know. Do you know that there is a miracle there? Jesus reached out and what? Grabbed him. They were not near each other like this. No, you read your Bibles. So anyway, read your Bibles, you'll build the faith. Glory to God. So have corresponding actions, but your actions should be based not on your wishful thinking, not on what, but on the instruction of God. Jesus told Peter, come. There was what? An instruction. God gave Joshua the battle plan to take Jericho. Okay? So you believe if God has given you a promise, or when God gives you a promise, he will give you the instructions. Follow that and walk in faith. And it's not going to be easy, but walk in faith. At least have corresponding actions. Glory to God. Amen. Then the second last thing is fill your mouth with the word of God. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I have looked. I have, you know, they are the same scriptures. You listen to Kenneth Copeland, these are the things they lived by. These are the words that they tested, and they produced results. And even us as LAT, when we go by the word of God, it will produce results. Glory to God. Of recent, there's something that I've I decided to do, to just get into that mode where I just listen to the word of God. There is an app, and now these things have been made easy for us. Now let me tell you, there is an app, you guys, yeah? And this app, you can get audio books about whatever area of life. Christian books, they are all there. And for me, I was looking for audios, of course, Christian audios, Bible-based with scripture. So somehow, thankfully, I got the app, downloaded my things, and I just be there listening to the word of God concerning, because nobody is coming to help me. As in, nobody is coming to tell me, Joanne, this is what is going to happen in Binobiange. Like, this is my journey, yeah? So nobody is coming to tell me those things. I have to do it myself, okay? So I listen to the word of God, play over and over, and the scriptures are repeated. They are repeated. But let me tell you something that happened. When I was going to Entebbe last week, and I was just listening, just letting this thing play over and over and over again in my ears. And God had given me a scripture. What was playing is really Logos. The scriptures that I read to you, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's not, by the way, it is not positive affirmations. You guys, they are positive affirmations. Those are things that motivational speakers use. And they tell you positive thinking and what, but I'm telling you, for me, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm talking about the power that is in the word of God. So as I was listening to the word of God play over and over again, there is a scripture that God had given me before. Like, I thought God quickened that scripture to me. And to me, at that point, it was Rema word, when he quickened it like a month ago. So, as I'm listening, you know, I'm listening, I'm letting the word of God, you know, into my spirit, I saw a small car, yeah? A small car passed by very fast, swee, you know, on the express highway. Swee! And behind the car, the inscribed on the windscreen, that very big thing at the back, was the scripture that God quickened me to. Banang, it's good to move by the spirit and not by religion. Immediately, I paused what I was listening to, Nenzilaku, that scripture. I said it over and over, because to me it was Rema, remember. So even as we listen to the word of God, how is faith built? As you listen to the word of God, God will quicken a scripture to you. And that scripture is the one that will save you. The scripture that will cause deliverance to come your way. It's in a weird way, it shines like light. Eh? You're like, what? This is it. This is the thing. Like all the other scriptures, yes, are relevant. But now God is speaking. Katinao mukama bifude, very personal. He's saying for you, this is how I am going to deliver you. That is the particular instruction. When it is quickened to you, it becomes rema. Like even if you stood on 100 scriptures, you know, jideka, it will not work. This is why, I think these are things of the spirit, like, that is why you need to keep listening to the word of God, because therein, God will quicken that scripture to you. Not everything, by the way, is going to come by dreams. Not everything, not every instruction will come by a prophetic word. Sometimes it just comes by rhema. One thing that I'll take us back to as LAT is, you remember remember Asher's dream? We've just come out of the series of our what? Of our history. Asher's dream. And how Pastor got that interpretation. First of all, he wasn't the dreamer. Asher's dream of the 7 years. Yeah? The 4, then 7, then, you know? Then, I'm like, Pastor was reading the word of God. You know, the spirit of God had to find him reading the word of God. He had to find him in the word. Do you understand? And then he got the interpretation. That scripture was quickened to him. And it became rhema. And it gave him the answer to the thing that he was looking for. Glory to God. He didn't dream it. So, many times, instructions will come to you. Clarity will come to you when you are in the word of God. Glory to God. Amen. We have seen it happen. We stand by that dream. It is one of our major dreams. And I just want to tell you that this is how things happen. This is how things happen. You're in your promised land. You do not know what to do. One day as you are just reading the word of God and letting it into your spirit, the spirit of God comes and quickens you. And just quickens you, like he won't send soka weba kenzien kubulire nkuwe chawandikibwa. He says, now in this moment, this is it for you. So when God quickened that scripture to me, immediately I stopped what I was listening to. Like I said, I started speaking. I had been speaking it by now. This time I'm like, mukama woli, why not mukama woli? So I started speaking the word. And guess what? The more I spoke it, the more I got confident. Yeah, you must assure your heart. But even to be too careful, nobody is going to, like, the promise for marriage was yours, not about who. The people who don't even want to get married, maybe they are there. So being able to be very, very personal. And I'm not saying that what I'm saying is going to work for everything. No. Or it's going to work in the order I have said it. But there are particular things. And there is just, Benanga, there is no way we can circumvent not walking by faith. There is no way you can say zengenda kuita wano. I am not going to declare scripture. There is, if you say those things, you're not going, you'll have so many nice dreams, but you will not see them come to pass. These are the principles that helped our forefathers. Remember, by the word of God, by faith, they obtained a what? A good report. Glory to God. So fill your mouth with the word of God. It helps you to build the mental image. It helps you in meditating. It transports you into the spirit of God, into the spirit world, and you're able to see these things. Glory to God. Some of you think that over prophets, but this is where they start from, I think, the initial stages of their prophetic gifting, okulaba. Yeah? But then as they meditate on the word of God, they're able to be taken into the spirit world. And all these things open up. Glory to God. So fill your mouth with the word of God, knowing that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And lastly, faith speaks. You must speak what you believe. I told people on Thursday, God created this world with the word of his power, with the power of his word, with the word of his power. If God spoke, you're going to speak. Glory to God. Hey, Leti, you're going to speak. You're going to change your declarations. If some people speak with their thumbs, posting, tweeting, and what? Tweet if you must tweet it. Tweet the word of God. This is not a time to start speculating. Bobby Wine, what? Hey, Dr. Kazimba, Yabagovye, for us in Uganda, we are the gay thing. No, like, yes, it has happened. You thank God for it, but no, for you where you're going. If that is relevant to you, God bless you. But if it's not, and while you're watching to Chogoba, your promised land, you're going to have to speak the word of God. You can't say, it is in my heart. In Chiwuli, Ramuli Munda, Chesera. Glory to God. Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. God at this point had told Abraham he's going to give him a son. Sarah, I'm going to give you a son. He tells them, no, by the way, change your names. That is insane. Where he taught you, Abraham, father of nations. Sarah, mother of princes and multitudes. Like, every time she would introduce herself as, I am Sarah. It was a reminder of the promise of God. You must speak the word of God. You must speak that which you believe. Amen. Mark 11:13. And seeing from afar, now this is Jesus, our Lord and Savior. He also did the same thing. I remember he only did what he saw. his father doing. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And the disciples heard it. Now in the morning as they passed, remember he had cast this tree the night before. Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, it had to be Peter, remembering, said, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cast has withered away." And so Jesus answered and said, "Have faith in God." Jesus spoke to a tree. A tree. Jesus spoke to a tree. You guys, this level of insanity. Even when you're there speaking about your fight, don't think you're the first one. Jesus Christ did this. And he cast it and it died from the roots. But when they left, it didn't seem like it had died. Okay? When they left, it was still, but he cast the source. So when we speak some things, you may not see immediate results, but you know that you have dealt with the source of that thing. If it is finances, and you are reeking with debt or lack or whatever it is, speak to the source. Speak it. Even if in the next 3 weeks you do not see it, you don't see a change in your physical circumstance concerning your finances, you know that the source has been dealt with. Believe that which you speak. The Bible tells us that if you shall speak to that mountain, to this mountain, the word "this" is a specific pronoun, by the way. You don't speak abstract things. No. Be specific. Address things specifically. Call them. Jesus didn't speak to all the trees. He spoke to that one that he was interested in. Glory to God. What is it that you want to see in LAT? What is it that you want to see in your life? There are specific things. There is the law of specificity. Speak specifically. It says, if you shall speak to this mountain, not to a mountain. If you will speak to this mountain and not doubt in your heart, then you shall have that which you. So speak, be specific, declare things. When you come here on Thursday to pray, and you are saying, "Oh, let us pray about this." Don't say, "Mukama, atukwabali za team." What? We have specific promises of the worship team. Be specific. Glory to God. Amen. Yes. Because concerning your life, you're also specific. Yeah? Mukama atukwebaliza timu naba sumbaba nabo natuwa kwebaliza neba deacon neba elders. No. No, be very specific. God said as people get out, others will come. So you speak to those specific people who are coming. In their what? With their anointings and ministries, the teachers, the evangelists, the prophets, the apostles, they will come. Glory to God. Amen. So faith speaks. Our Lord Jesus Christ spoke. He spoke healings and they took place. God spoke this world into existence and it happened. You have power, the power of God in his word. Use it and you will surely prosper. Glory to God. Amen. Be in the word. Like this is a time. I'm Joshua. When he said this is the battle plan, Tatuchikoli, let us be that army that went around Jericho. Glory to God. Let us follow the instruction God is giving us during this time concerning our church. Again, in our promised land, it is not Sibia Musumba, Sibia Joan, Sibia is not even our church. This is the Lord's temple. Glory to God. It is the Lord's temple. Let us do it now. Get those very things and superimpose them on your personal lives. Glory to God. If it is speaking, speak. Let be filled. Penage, I said on Thursday, Oksomozewa kwa man. I don't know what Oksomozewa is even in English. The challenge, thank you. The challenges are so many. In the promised land, it is fighting for your place. It is yours, but you have to fight. So if you do not build your faith, I don't know what will happen. But I pray that as I've been preaching, faith has risen in your heart to do these things. Faith has risen in your heart. Amen.
Glory to God.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.